In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
Greetings, Earthlings. What you're about to hear is the very first action film autopsy I recorded way back in June, so I hope you will excuse any flailing around for content and direction. I also hope you'll forgive the cursory length. We only had a limited amount of time before our guest star, Vincent Lin, had another appointment. Given the subject, it was like running through a museum. Not shockingly, we didn't touch on Vincent's runway modeling, composing pop hits for Hong Kong radio, his multiple Grammy Award nominations, I'm not kidding, his multiple Carnegie Hall concerts, I'm still not kidding, and his recent work in trying to rescue child slaves in Ghana, I am definitely not kidding. Be sure to check out this episode's supplemental for where you can contribute to Vincent's charity, and also info on all the names, movie titles, and slang you may not be familiar with unless you've read all my martial art movie books and kung fu film documentaries, still available on my website and Amazon.com. So, after all this further ado, enjoy this jaunty rush through the amazing action movie life of Vincent Lin.
So, we met in 1991, right?
That is correct.
Yes, and we met at Pak Chan's Superior Oriental, what is it, Martial Arts Supply Store in Norwalk, Connecticut?
Actually, and I don't believe we did.
That's, no?
I think you met him and he told you that I was...
He said, Pak Chan, who's this great guy who no longer runs the Superior Oriental gift shop, but I believe it's still there.
It is still there.
Yeah, Main Street in Norwalk, Connecticut. He said, do you know who Vincent Lin is?
174 Main Street.
Oh, there you go.
100.
And I went, well, yeah, I know who Vincent Lin is because I already seen you in Operation Condor at that point. And he said, you want to meet him? I said, yeah.
So he gave you the name of my school. That's where we met.
I don't think so. I remember that he invited you there, and I met you for the first time there. It was shortly thereafter that I saw you at the school.
All right, well, then.
So bring us up to date.
Your memory is better than mine.
Well, let's maybe. We'll find out, of course, all of this is a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
I met you in 1991. You had already done Operation Condor.
That's correct.
Tell what, you know... You were a movie star You are a movie star. But how'd you get there? What was happening prior to that? Before I met you.
Okay, before I met you, let's go back to end of 87.
Okay.
1987. So at that point, I had met a very well-known Chinese photographer. He was actually a still photographer. Like landscapes, and he did a lot of advertising. His name was Zan Ng.
Uh-huh.
Right? Lived in big home in Greenwich, but his studio was in New York, and he'd shot various like photos and stuff like that of me, you know, for my portfolio.
Because you were also a model.
Yeah. So he
and a composer.
And so he mentioned right out of the blue. He said, you ever thought about going to Hong Kong to do film? And I said, well, maybe in a fantasy.
Yeah. Maybe by then, you know, you were born of a Chinese father and a British mother.
Yeah.
Chinese father had kung fu in the family.
Yeah.
Hakka kung fu, which is the wanderer style.
Right.
Mom, a musical prodigy.
Yes.
On the BBC television.
Correct.
So there was already that.
It was
influence.
Already there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had been... kind of competing for quite a while, and I had started...
In kickboxing?
Yes.
In kickboxing.
And I had started teaching as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone through my first divorce.
Yeah.
So I had moved back with...
The first in a series.
Yeah, the first in a series, like everything else. So I had moved back with the folks, and so I set up this, like, gym in the basement of the home in Stamford. And so anyway, Zan gave me the name of a friend of his who was an art director in Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
And he said, look, you know, just go out there, take a chance. And so I flew to Hong Kong and I met this gentleman and we met as all meetings happen, they happen in some coffee shop in some well-known hotel in Jim Sadre, right, downtown on Kowloon Side. And we met in the Sheraton. And he gave me the name of four film companies. Golden Harvest, obviously the most prominent. Sammo Hung's company, Boho Films or Bo War. Cinema City. And Thapo or D&B, you know, owned by Dixon Poon.
Right.
And so I went to all four, and I met, actually met with Raymond Chow, which is quite amazing.
Better Golden Harvest.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, you could do well here. He says, though we don't have anything filming right now, he says, you know, if you could spend 6 months here, he said, I'm sure, you know, you'd have no problem getting work. So, unfortunately, you know, having just gone there, the idea of being able to spend 6 months there, I hadn't planned for that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing how expensive Hong Kong was and is, that just wasn't really in the planning at all. Cinema City and Samo's company didn't have anything. And then the last one, I met with D&B, and that is when I first met with Fish Fong, who was Yuen Woo-ping's partner,
right,
for, you know, a lifetime, and has been for many years up until the recent kind of release of Grandmaster.
Right.
Yeah. So I... Fish kind of really plugged for me. They had pretty much started in pre-production of Tiger Cage.
Right.
And he says, okay, well, you know, I'd like you to meet the director, Yuen Woo-ping, and, you know, from there it wasn't handed on a silver platter by no means.
Sure.
It took me going back to Hong Kong again, and leaving Hong Kong because they couldn't make up their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I returned to the States for the second time, within 24 hours, Fish called me and says, you have the part. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that a day ago? I said, now you have to bring me back, you know. So they put me on a flight, and yeah.
That's how it started.
That's how it started.
And this wasn't... The interesting thing about this is that later on you became the Guaylo fighter in a variety of movies. But this was, you were the main villain in Tiger King.
Exactly.
You were the suited, evil foreigner, Guaylo.
Mm-hmm.
And Yuen Woo-ping, who's best known in this country for choreographing The Matrix and Kill Bill, he was a big director. He gave Jackie Chan his huge stardom
break.
That's
right.
So this is a major accomplishment.
Yes, it was. It was just, again, you know, being in the right place and timing and all those, a little bit of luck. And
but by then, you had grown up. I remember you telling me the story about you had great Tai Chi people and great, you know, elevated Kung Fu people in your family, but you didn't accept them. You didn't follow them, didn't you?
Not initially, not at all.
No, who did you follow?
Bruce Lee.
Yeah, there we go. Everybody wants to be Bruce Lee.
I know, and none of us are.
Yeah, but you also, another thing that we have a mutual love of is James Bond.
Of course.
Yeah, so again, you say of course.
Yeah, well.
But, and I say of course, but not everybody, especially in the modern age. Right. Was there any other people, Bruce Lee and James Bond are good starts, was there anyone else you really, really admired? Did you follow any of the Shaw brothers?
I did, but you know what I really like, and still to this day, is Billy Jack.
Really?
It's funny. If I could ever remake a film, that is the movie I would want to remake.
Billy Jack?
Yeah. The first one, of course.
All right, of course.
Yeah.
And if you remade it, would you keep the same sort of, to my eyes, stiff kind of martial arts, or would you change?
No. I would change it, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, Hapkido Bong Soo-han, who, great Hapkido master. Of course, I would change the martial arts. But I just like that. I mean, I love the story. I love the characters. And I just, I don't know. It's just a movie that's always stuck with me.
Wow, we've known each other since 1991, and this is the first I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now let's jump back, because this podcast is called Action Film Autopsy. Let's jump back to Hong Kong. You are now in a major motion picture, which turned out to be Yuen Woo-ping's comeback film.
Right.
After a couple of years of not doing so well. You're with Donnie Yen. You're with Jackie Chung. Jackie.
Simon Yam. Simon Jang.
Right.
Yes.
And who? And Yuen Woo-ping himself is choreographing?
Well, Yuen Woo-ping directed it and choreographed it.
And choreographed it as well.
And then you had Wong Leung-wai. You had a couple of the five... The Shaw Brothers,
Five Venoms,
greats, was in it. Yeah.
So you're there, and did that just immediately lead to other things?
Well, for me, it was. I had many students back in the States, and this was like, you know, this kind of dream come true. You know, every martial artist wants to do film, right? And so, to get in the film with. And I really...
A Hong Kong film.
Hong Kong film, right?
Yeah, right.
So I was ready to actually come home. You know, I was there 3 months, and I was ready to come back home. And in very little time, within a week or so since the premiere opened, I got a call from Golden Harvest, you know. And so now they were remaking... Not remaking, but they were refinishing Cynthia Rothrock's... which was then called Lady Reporter, which got changed to Blonde Fury.
Right.
And it had been shelved for about 9 months.
Wow.
Because the original director was Mon Hoi, was in the film, who happened to be... Cynthia can kick me. She was dating.
I was going to say...
She was
dating. Can kick both of us.
She was dating. I should be fine.
Yeah.
She was dating Mon Hoi for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... They never released the film. It didn't have enough action. And so they brought in Kor Yun, Yun Kwai, who was, of course, celebrated like Yuen Woo-ping. And they spiced up the action, and they needed to have a better ending. So they brought myself and Jeff Falcon in.
And so you did that, and off you were off running, right?
No.
No, you still weren't off running.
I wasn't off running at all. After Blonde Fury, I got called to do my first introduction to meet Frankie Chan.
Right.
And Frankie Chan offered me a role on Burning Ambition, which was actually Frankie's kind of comeback film or introduction into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I heard my mom had gotten very ill. Mm-hmm. And so here I was, like, moving fast in this industry. And three films in, like, you know, a month.
Yeah.
And I decided, I should go home and see what's up.
Yeah.
And so I came home for 4 months.
Right. You're a familial son.
Yeah.
I've known that about you.
Yeah.
But you wound up going back.
I did, but it was like starting all over again, but kind of worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, why? How so?
I spent 6 months... Couldn't find anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it was a terrible, like, living situation. I was living in a tiny room, like, had to buy some horrible cheap-ass linoleum, and it was on the top of a brothel with a girlfriend that I had met in Hong Kong, and it was really bad. It was so bad that, like, I was eating, like, rice boxes, like, twice a day, you know, like $10 Hong Kong dollars, like $1.50, just broke, you know. And so, and then all of a sudden, this kind of small, silly, independent film company just started up called Top Sun Films.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a movie called Live Hard. I thought it actually was a porn.
Mm-hmm. You would.
It was, again, starring Yim Dat Hwa.
Mm-hmm.
But also with Huang Zhang Li,
mm-hmm.
and being directed by Yuen Woo-ping's brother, Yun Chan-yi,
mm-hmm.
who did the choreography for Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, there was some other foreigners on it, and a couple of foreigners, Kim Marie Penn from Australia,
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was this kind of, it was like a godsend because I was like broke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a few weeks' work, but the thing is, I made more money on that film than both Tiger Cage and Blom Fury together because we were doing like 17, 18 hour days and it was like double time, overtime after like 10 hours. So it was kind of ridiculous, actually.
Well, as interesting as this is, again, because of this podcast, let's jump into the movies rather than talk about.
Okay.
You know, we can do it if you listeners really love this part and want to know more about the adventures of getting these films, we can do a second part to the interview. But you did Live Hard, you did Robotrix, you did Outlaw Brothers for Frankie Chan eventually.
Yeah.
So you have, and also ultimately, Operation Condor with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
So you have...
Plus many others,
yeah. Which you can mention.
Yeah.
Because now I want you to compare and contrast the action styles.
Ah.
I mean, you cannot compare what you were doing. If you were cast as a henchman in a James Bond movie, they would not be doing the same sort of thing.
No.
No. And so here you have... let's start. You know, your first two movies, Corey Yun and Yuen Woo Ping.
Hmm.
I recommend people go to YouTube or go out and get, and take a look at these fight scenes.
Yeah.
And in both those movies, your central fight scene, how was the design of the fights different?
You mean from both Blom Fury and
Tiger Cage? Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, for Tiger Cage, I was a complete, like, cherry on this. Here I thought, okay, all this great martial arts of skill, ability, you know, from being a young age, it can't be that difficult. But it was pretty awful. Yeah. I really had no idea what I was doing. I mean, and so the timing of the choreography, it's not like the choreography was very difficult. What I did find difficult was the... falling and turning and flipping and the dumo and landing on the back and, you know, from a shot and all this kind of stuff, which is would not really happen in real life. So that kind of threw me off. But so that was really difficult because I've never practiced this kind of stuff before.
Now the listener can't see my face, but didn't they have a stuntman for you?
No,
there are no stuntmen.
So I had to learn all this stuff right, you know, as we were doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And unlike most, I would say all American films where you have lots of time to rehearse, yeah, there's no such thing as rehearse. You're doing it. You're filming as you rehearse kind of stuff. You know?
And they're telling you what they want you to do.
Well, they show me what they want, mm-hmm. and then you get in there and work with, you know, obviously my stuff was with Jackie Jung.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie Yen stepped in for Jackie Jung when, you know, the kicking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found it really difficult. The timing was most difficult for me.
And also back then... Now, in America, and in many cases in Asia as well, they just do one or two things and then cut and do the next setup. Back then, how long a shot were they asking you to do in one take?
Maybe 8 or 9, 10
moves.
Eight to ten moves
in one shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was, you know, doing it again first time was difficult.
Yeah. And that's commonplace. It was commonplace.
It was commonplace. Then. Yeah, yeah. I found, and then of course I had to work with Cynthia,
and Corey.
Corey. And of course that was really difficult because I, you know, thought Corey Yun just really hated my guts. So I was already under pressure, and so. Here we were, two Western assassins, if you want to call us. Me 6'2", Jeff Falcon like 5'5".
Mm-hmm.
So kind of that looked ridiculous. And so what was even more ridiculous is that instead of having Jeff Falcon do all the jumping because he's short, they're having me jump. It's like I should be kicking low and Jeff Falcon should be kicking high, but it was just...
Why do you think... Do you think they're doing that because they have this relationship with Westerners that they kind of like... They're kind of like messing with you?
Yeah, all the time. It's like on that film, it was the second film, and the stuntmen would come up to us while we're trying to stretch out, warm up, because we know a scene. It's all you kawaii homa fan, meaning we're all trouble because we need to stretch out and warm up, and we Hong Kong Dai Lo, you know, the big brother, the number one, we're always ready. Mm. I'm like, yeah, that's why, you know, you're about as expendable as that peanut that Corey Yun just threw at me. So they're always tough, but yet, hey, I will continue to stretch out, and I still do. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about face and ego.
Right. Well, that's true of Hollywood. Yeah. You know my favorite quote, Orson Welles said that Hollywood is not about money, it's about ego.
Yeah.
And that's still true. So, was there a noticeable difference between the way Corey Yun Kwai, and Yun Wu Ping choreographed?
Well, by the time I was required to do more on Blonde Fury, and because the design of the fight scenes were very much more intricate, because we were fighting in between these, you know, kind of 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
What would you call them?
They're what they put on the back of 18-wheelers.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's the containers.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so the fight scenes were really intricate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up and on top of the containers, lots of things in the way and ropes and climbing down, climbing up. You know, getting stuck inside these containers on either side. So yeah, it was really intricate, and I think it was, you know. When you look at that fight scene today, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, both of them are pretty cool. Of course, Tiger Cage is more realistic.
Yeah, it is.
It's more of it's a crime thriller.
Yeah.
While Lady Reporter or Blonde Fury was more of a superheroic type of thing. But so when you say it's more intricate, but are you still doing 8 to 10 moves per shot?
No. Because it's so much more intricate and the setups took more time, we weren't doing as many.
Yeah.
But then it's just the skill of the editing. It's just, you know, how skillful the editor is.
Right. And so from there, Live Hard.
Live Hard was the third one.
Right. And who was choreographing that? Oh, that was right. The brother of
Yun. That's Yun's again.
Yeah, that's another.
Again, it was the Yun's again.
Same style, choreography?
Same style. We played like terrorists. So it was very similar. Yeah,
And then when did Outlaw Brothers?
Outlaw Brothers was still a ways away. After Live Hard was then. That's when everything, at least for me, switched over, because then I got to work again with D&B on Middleman.
In the line of fire.
Five.
One of their stronger in that series.
Yeah, but I was actually required to actually, you know, have character, you know, so, but there was an interesting, I was supposed to be in the film from the beginning all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And if you notice, you watch the film from the beginning, I mean, every other shot for the first 25 minutes, every other scene I'm in it. And then they were like, as typical Hong Kong, gee, we don't know what to do with you now. We have no clue.
Yeah.
We better just kill you in the next scene.
Yeah,
you know?
And they did.
And here I am, this Navy SEAL, and I get killed by a bunch of silly, fumbling guys, young kids in an alleyway.
Right,
you know,
it's
silly. Yeah.
Yeah. Who choreographed that?
Ah, that was Chris Lee. Chris Lee was one of was actually head of Jackie's stunt team at that time.
So that was
the first time I got introduced to actually Jackie Chan's stunt team.
Now, was he noticeably different than what you had experienced before in terms of the choreography, the action?
Yeah, well, they wanted to make this unmartial.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely like, you know.
Street fighting.
Right. You know, I'm smashing a guy's head on the wall and mm-hmm. kneeing him in the spine and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
At least for my character, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you consider that easier to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not difficult. That's pretty straightforward. Of course, Lo Lee was in that, so I got this.
Yes, Lo Lee, however we want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
He's in more than 200 movies in his career.
So it was really nice to work with him, too.
Yeah, that's really. So you're now sort of coming into your own. You're getting more confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so what do you think the next step was, or what's the next most memorable fight movie you were in?
It was short, but I actually really liked working. It was with Gofei
mm-hmm.
on Point of No Return.
Wow.
And Joey Wong was in that.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
The very beautiful Joey Wong.
Ken Lo was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Jung was in it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who choreographed it? Who was the action director?
I think actually Gofei was.
Oh, Gofei was also doing action.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And also, you know, first time I get to actually do some, you know, kind of dangerous type of stunts, you mm-hmm. know, thrown up through, you know, being tossed up in the air, having to land on a glass table and stuff.
Oh,
like.
Gosh.
So that was putting on the big turtle shell. So that was kind of interesting.
Now, the big rumor is that they don't really use fake glass like they do in Hollywood.
No, that's actually true. They do use it.
They do use sugared glass. Yeah. But is it doubled, or is it the same kind of sugar glass you're going to find in Hollywood?
What do you mean doubled?
Well, Jackie always told me that they use, in order, he didn't like the way sugar glass looked. So they always would double the width.
That's true. It is double the width.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's the thickness of this.
And of course,
it's the thickness
of
the windshield.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to speak.
Sorry, yeah, I know. I'm looking over the window. Sorry, guys.
Eventually, if I don't already tell you, listeners, we are going to do a video podcast and reenact fight scenes.
Yeah.
But right now,
it's the thickness of a windshield.
Yeah.
So it is double thickness.
Yeah, but it's still sugar glass.
Don't mind my phone, sorry.
Yeah, that little dinging is not me getting ideas. It's Vincent's phone. Yeah. He's a very popular fellow. He's about to leave for a month.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the next step in your action evolution?
I mean, from this point on?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not talking about Hong Kong now.
Oh, did you come back in between and do some Western stuff?
Oh, no, no. Well,
no, we're coming to the crescendo of Operation Condor.
Okay, yeah.
But we got Outlaw Brothers.
The Outlaw Brothers of Robotrix.
Robotrix, right.
There was Fury and Red.
Fury and Red.
And a bunch of other stuff.
So was any of that, and also,
it was
Ignore the Train.
That was, I got to work with Ringo Lam.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And I'm showing, we're showing a Ringo Lam scene.
And that was actually the first,
at the Comic-Con.
That was one of the first Hong Kong fully synced sound films.
Right. That just started around that time.
Danny Chan was in that.
Danny Chan, there you go. Yeah, yeah. So how were those different from an action standpoint?
And what's his name from Voyage of the Bottom of the Sea, Mr. Hedison?
David Hedison was in that.
Yes,
there you go.
That, yeah. And also Vernon Wells.
Oh, I tell you, you're rubbing shoulders at this point.
Yeah, I know.
But from an action standpoint, was there anything noticeably different or unusual for you, or was it business as usual in those films? Jackie, of course, is the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And that's a different deal.
Each film was a kind of separate entity and a separate experience in and of itself. Yeah.
We could do separate podcasts
on each
film.
You could, yeah. The only interesting, it was pretty interesting, was when I started working on Operation Condor, the first 10 days while I was in makeup,
mm-hmm.
I was also working on two others. I don't know how I did it. It was 5 days straight. I actually had no sleep.
Oh.
I slept on a rock for a half an hour.
Welcome to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was working on Robotrix and Fury in Red, which was directed by Wong Lung Wai.
Yeah. The great Shaw Brothers villain.
Yeah. And so, and that was Conan Lee was in that too.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And so, Jackie, actually Wong Lung Wai came to me and says, "Guess who showed up today?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Jackie Chan came to see me." I said, "Oh dear." I said, "Is it a good thing or a bad thing?" He said, "No, it's good." He says, "But he told me, as a big brother, he says, You cannot hurt Vincent at all. No stunts, no throwing him in the ocean, no running over him, nothing. Even if you got to end his fight scene now, he has to be 100% fit, no injuries. And so he says, we're going to end your role in this kind of soon. He says, unfortunately. I said, no, I understand. He says, because you're going to be working on that film for a long time.
He was right.
Yeah, he was right. So that was, I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah,
that is kind of cool, especially the thing that I enjoyed, and I imagine most of the American listeners to this podcast will enjoy, is that you can't hurt him, you can't run him over, which is just regular action in Hong Kong movies of that time.
But the thing is, I was kind of glad, because when I got to watch Fury in Red, where my demise happens, I get thrown in the Hong Kong, South China Sea.
Yeah, you get hurled.
Because I'm wearing a balaclava, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm glad Jackie showed up. Because I did not want to get tossed in the ocean.
Yeah, but you did anyway.
Yeah.
But you got tossed in such a way that you wouldn't be damaged.
But it wasn't me.
Oh, they did use a stunt
double. They did a stunt double for that.
Oh,
no, Jackie.
Who can stunt double you?
I have no idea, but he was a lot shorter. If you look really slowly,
yeah, it's better.
Frame by frame, you know it's not me.
You go back to Blonde Fury, and you can see Cynthia being doubled.
By Monkey.
By a gentleman. Yeah.
Well, actually, the stunt guy's name is Monkey.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, awesome. So anyway... Yeah. So we get to the was Frankie Chan choreographed Outlaw Brothers?
Yes, he did.
And is he different, because his style of fighting, especially in that film, was very long arm, was very elegant.
Yeah.
So,
but he did also have, and I don't remember his name, but he was a wushu champion from China, mm-hmm. who came to help on choreographing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it was more the same,
yeah.
Basically, especially your roles, because you and who was your partner in that?
Was Yukari Yoshima.
Yeah, but who was your the male guy who?
Ken Goodman.
Ken Goodman.
Yeah,
he did. You guys did a lot of flowery stuff.
That was the first time we actually got to infuse, if I can use that word, in terms of. Well, how about we do this, and we contributed to the choreography of that scene on top of the ledge.
Right.
So that was really cool. That was the first time it happened.
Yeah, it was watching you develop in terms of your action acting as well, in addition to you were able to do the moves, but you were also able to behave in a way that added to the fight.
Right.
Yeah, you could see that clearly in Outlaw Brothers.
Yeah, don't watch my ankles in Outlaw Brothers, because my socks change color in every other scene.
Then definitely do it. So, did you get, before Operation Condor, because we're leading up to Operation Condor, unfortunately for this particular podcast, we have a limited amount of time before you have to go back to work. Did you get hurt before Operation Condor?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. Even in Tiger Cage, the scene where I got a flip and land on my back, that hurt, muscularly hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde Fury, knees, shins and stuff. There was always something that kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Cynthia kicked me in the groin with a scoop kick, and I had all this padding, and it still didn't matter. As great as her control is, but I think that was just a power trip on her part.
Yeah. Never know. Never know.
But no, I think, the biggest injury was Condor.
All right. So let's get to Condor, where we have a completely different experience. Go ahead. I know the story. I've done many articles with you and on you, but tell the listeners your experiences on Operation Condor.
You mean the injury?
Well, that and any other high points that if you want to build to the injury. But,
I will tell a funny story.
Please do.
Because a lot of people do not know this.
Okay.
And I was just telling someone the other day. I signed a 10-day contract. And I thought, okay, fine. 10-day contract, they paid me half up front, half when it was supposed to be finished. 10 days, I was still in makeup. They couldn't figure out how ugly to make me. And Jackie would come down every day, peek around the corner, not ugly enough. Come back the next day, are you kidding me? The next day, next day. So 10 days, they finally figured out the makeup contract was over. So they had to sign a new contract. I said, no, don't bother with that. Let's just do it the Hong Kong way. We don't need a contract. You just pay me every day I come. Make it simple. Flat rate, boom. Mm-hmm. I said, even if it's over hours, I don't care, but we'll make this one flat fee. You pay me cash at the end of the day, and we'll do it that way. And it was in my favor to tell you the truth. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not the story. Oh, halfway through the makeup, in walks this gentleman. I couldn't recognize him for the life of me. He was probably my age now, so mid-50s. But very well-dressed, tie, silk shirt, beautiful suit on, regal-looking. And he just said hello, and I said, oh, hello. And 5 minutes later, Jackie walks in. And I'm done with the makeup, and Jackie looks at me and says, do you know who that was? I said, no, should I? He says, do you know who Wang Yu is?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I said, you mean Johnny Wang Yu?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. I said, he was my hero before Bruce Lee. He says, yes. He says, but do you know what he is now? I said, no. Mm-hmm. He says, he's one of the biggest bosses in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did use a word before the bosses, but I'm not going to repeat it before that. Everybody should already know.
Everybody can guess.
Yeah. And so that was like, that blew me away.
Yeah.
And I said, is everything okay? Yeah. He said, no, everything's okay. Yeah. Coming to pay respects and all this stuff. Okay. And what do you know? I met him for what? 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years later, I see him again. We actually have a conversation this time.
Oh, my.
You were there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In New York at the New York Asian Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. He was at a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really kind of, and still regal and all well-dressed and everything.
Really dangerous.
Of course, older.
I take that back, by the way. Not dangerous at all.
Exactly.
Nobody sue me, please. Yeah, or come after me.
Really nice. And it was so amazing to see him. And I actually reminded him of that story.
Yeah.
And of course, he didn't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, yeah.
Now, he doesn't know Kung Fu, does he?
No.
No. He made these, he makes all these, his movies.
But that was like Fusang.
Yeah.
And Gordon Liu.
Yeah, but they learned it from...
They learned it from...
From La Kao Yong,
yes,
and all these guys.
Yeah.
But Jimmy didn't have to. Jimmy was very, very, very powerful. I call him Jimmy Wang Yu. You call him...
It's Johnny like Chen Wai Man or Wong Lung Wai. I mean, these guys were...
Very powerful.
Real deal.
First thing Wong Lung Wai ever said to me is, do you fight? I went, no, I write, so I don't have to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, but yes, as fascinating as that is, let's get to the action.
Okay.
This is not called Fascinating Chinese Superstars Autopsy.
Okay, cool.
Action film.
Okay,
Jackie, does Jackie choreograph differently than everyone else?
Yes, and the reason is because you're working with Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So the stunt team would come in, come up with some ideas, show it to Jackie, work with the actor, so I'm working with Jackie, and then it'd be wonderful. You work on this choreography, you have like 10, 12 moves down, and then Jackie all of a sudden says, no, it's no good, we're going to do this. And so when you think you have everything, you don't have a damn thing. Now you have to actually completely kind of absorb what he wants to do.
Right. But it's safe to say, you tell me if it's safe to say, he's always looking for the joke. He's looking for the interaction and how that makes the scene. Well, everybody else was fairly serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jackie's always, I mean, that scene, the wind tunnel sequence, is really remarkable in terms of the humor involved.
Mm, it is.
But also very interesting in the damage it did to you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole thing with the face-to-face, nose-on-nose. I mean, we must have spent about an hour just trying to figure out how our noses were going to, like, squash and press against each other, you know. I mean, but that was him. That was his kind of...
Buster Keaton's humor-like approach to things.
And when we got to doing the wire harnesses, mm-hmm. being buffeted...
Yeah.
Supposedly buffeted by the giant fans
in this Nazi wind tunnel.
Correct.
Yeah. Under the Sahara.
I'm flying back, and of course, my depending on how many people are pulling the wire. So if I'm not moving fast enough, they'll just grab a couple of more guys. They won't go to the computer and do the math and saying, well, let's see, windage, leverage. If we're pulling at that speed, he's going to be moving through the air. No, none of that happens. It's short. Hey, we need two more guys.
Yikes.
They don't take into consideration, well, how much do they weigh and how strong are they, you know?
And how did you describe for me one time how it felt like in that harness?
Yeah, it felt like my balls being crushed in a vise. It was the worst pain ever. Forget about dominatrix. I'd rather deal with that.
And it all was to give the effect that this fan in this wind tunnel was blowing you
into the
without wires,
into the slats.
There's these gigantic slats to change the direction of the wind. So,
as I'm being reeled back, there's a cut to as I pass Jackie, who's standing on this podium, and I fly past him. And, of course, then he's filming.
Yeah.
And my head hits my body. But, of course, because of the force, it's like a whiplash, you know, in a car. My head, boom, hits the back of the slat, cracks the slat open. These massive things were, I don't know, like 50 feet.
They're wood painted to look like metal.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And so I'm dangling like a marionette, you know. And
are you out?
Well, I'm not out yet.
Okay.
I'm conscious.
Yeah.
Right? I'm dangling, but I know something doesn't feel right. And so the guys, again, reel me back to where Jackie was standing. So he's standing about 10 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, no, 6 to 8 feet, something like that. So as I'm able to step onto this podium, Jackie basically, you know, looks at me and says, Vincent, you okay? You okay? You okay? And so I put my hand, I remember putting my hand, bracing my hand on his shoulder. And I said, yeah, I'm okay. And of course, Jackie turned away and he looked back. He says, okay, take a rest. We're going to do it 15 minutes again. And when he walked away, that's when I fell over. I was out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was going through, my brain was like, he'd been hit, like, by a train.
Unbeknownst to you, your skull was...
It was, yeah.
You were cracked open?
Yeah.
Like an egg?
Like kind of an egg.
Like an egg.
And like a hard-boiled egg.
But you did it again, didn't you?
I did it again.
And that's why they love you.
Yeah, well, eat better.
Eat better.
Yeah, eat better.
That's the phrase. Well, on that note, because of our timing situation, let us say this is part one.
Part one.
Because I definitely want you to guest in the James Bond episode. We're going to go through every James Bond movie and action film autopsy them.
Oh, great. I love that.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
And you're off on a wonderful trip. And, you know, anyway, Vincent Lin, I'll give you more details. Thank you so much for coming to Professor Rick's Action Film Podcast.
Hey, Professore.
Thank you.
Whoa. Loads of names and titles, huh? As I said in the intro, be sure to check out the supplemental for this episode on the website for more details and where you can contribute to Vincent's good work rescuing child slaves. Hope to hear you're here to hear the next episode, the Autumn Action Movie Wrap-Up. It's sure to be a magnificent 7 Luke Cage fight that will Jack Reacher for a true accounting. And as always, use your blinkers, jackass.
Okay, break it up, break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more film fun, frenzy, and friends. Until then,
give me a real fight.
Check out actionfilmautopsy.com, where the excitement never ends.